वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 68, The Marriage of Sambha, Text 20 through 24. Yes. We'll do Text 20 responsibly. Word meanings, bandhun, their relatives, kushalinaha, doing well, shrutva, hearing, trishtva, inquiring, shivam, about their welfare, anamayam, and help. Parasparam, among one another, Atta U, thereupon, Ramaha, Lord Balaram, Babhashe, spoke, Aviklavam, forthrightly, and Vachaha, words. Bandhun Kushalina Shrutva, Rishtva Shivam Anamayam, Parasparamato Ramo Vabhashe Viklavam Vacha Bandhun Kushalina Shrutva Krishtva Shivam Anamayam Parasparamato Ramo Vabhashe Viklavam Vacha Bandhun Kushalina Shrutva Krishtva Shivam Anamayam Parasparamato Ramo Vabhashe Viklavam Vacha Krishna Shiva Manamayam Parasparam Aturano Abhashe Viklavam Vachaha Bandhun Kushalina Srutva Krishna Shiva Manamayam Parasparam Aturamo Sabhashe Viklavam Vachaha Bandhun Kushalina Srutva Krishna Shivam Anamayam Parasparam Aturamo Vabhashe Viklavam Vachaha Bandhun Kushalina Shrutva Krishtva Shivam Anamayam Parasparam Aturama Vabhashe Viklavam Vachaha
Ladies,
Bandhun Kushalina Sutva Krishtva Shivam Anamayam Parasparam Aturama Vabhashe Viklavam Vachaha Bandhun Kushalina Srutva Krishtva Shivam Anamayam Parasparam Aturamo Abhashe Viklavam Vacha. Translation: after both parties had heard that their relatives were doing well, and both had inquired into each other's welfare and help, Lord Balaram forthrightly spoke to the Kurus as follows. Purport: Srila Prabhupada writes, they all exchanged words of reception by asking one another of their welfare. When such formality was finished, Lord Balaram, in a great voice and very patiently, submitted before them the following words for their consideration. You can chant along. Ugrasena kshite shesho yadva agya payat prabhu taravyagra diyashtrutva purudvam avilambitam. Lord Balaram said, King Ugrasena is our master and the ruler of kings. With undivided attention, you should hear what he has ordered you to do, and then you should do it at once. Yadyuyam bhavastvekam jitva dharmena dharmikam abhadnita tatan mrishye bandhunam aikya kamyaya. King Ugrasena has said, even though by irreligious means several of you defeated a single opponent who follows the religious codes, still I am tolerating this for the sake of unity among family members. Purport: here Ugrasena implies that the Kurus should immediately bring Samba and present him to Lord Balaram. So this is the total message from Ugrasena, what we just read. Even though by irreligious means several of you defeated a single opponent who follows religious codes, still I am tolerating this for the sake of unity among family members. Now text 23. Virya shoya balonadham atma shakti samam vachaha kuravo baladevasya nisham yochu prakopita. Upon hearing these words of Lord Baladev's, which were full of potency, courage, and strength, and were appropriate to his transcendental power, the Kauravas became furious and spoke as follows. So this is interesting, isn't it? They refer to it as Balaram's words, but he's just repeating what Ugrasena said. But he said it with potency, courage, strength, and strength. And finally, text 24. Aho mahachit tamidam kalagatya duratyaya aruruksyatyupanadvai shiromukata sevitam. The Kuru nobles said, oh, how amazing this is. The force of time is indeed insurmountable. A lowly shoe now wants to climb on the head that bears the royal crown. Purport: by the words kala gatya duratyaya, the insurmountable movement of time, the intolerant Kurus allude to the degraded age of Kali, which was about to begin. Here the Kurus indicate that the fallen age of Kali had indeed already begun, since they claim that now the shoe wants to climb on the head that bears the royal crown. In other words, they thought that the lowly Yadus now wanted to rise above the royal Kurus. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chikshuram Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I want to clarify something I said in my last class. During the question and answer period, there was some discussion of Kalyapani Prabhu asked about the sons of Krishna. They're sometimes said to be exactly like their father. In my reply, I was saying how I was describing the sons as being part of Krishna's internal potency. What I forgot to mention was Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So Krishna does have two sons that are Vishnu Tattva. And the original Chaturvyuha is present in Dwarka. So Vasudev, Sankarshan, Krishna and Balaram, and then Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So they're all Vishnu Tattva. Or the other sons are not, but at least there are two who are Vishnu Tattva. And also there's been some discussion about when this Samba, the cursing and all that, this cursing by the sages. I was trying to find it last time I gave class and I couldn't find it. I knew I had read something that was definitive. And I couldn't remember who said it, and I couldn't figure out how to search for it, but finally I found it. It's actually Uddhava, when Vidura meets Uddhava, and he's asking him questions about the Yadus. Then Uddhava replies. So he goes through different members of the Yadu dynasty, and this is at the end of the third chapter, third canto, text 24 and 25. Uddhava says, "Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. A few months passed, and then, bewildered by Krishna, all the descendants of Vrishni, Bhoja, and Antaka, who were incarnations of demigods, went to Prabhas, while those who were eternal devotees of the Lord did not leave but remained in Dwarka." So this is the beginning of the pastime. There are several more verses that actually explain what happened. So in the Sanskrit, it says, Katipayai Masai. A few months. Katipayai means a few, and Masai means months passing. So pretty much literally there in the words of Uddhava, that after a few months of the curse, they went to Prabhas and this took place. So the question was, you know, Samba, he's about 100 years old. So what's he doing playing with young children? But in any case, that's what it says there. So today I wanted to, among other things, let's see what I get to, but I wanted to talk a little bit about genealogy. Because it comes up often, these names of all these different dynasties. Even today, there's mention of the, the Bhojas and the Andukas, I think. So at the end of the ninth canto, we had this whole diagram chart of different dynasties. The one to look at is the descendants of Pururava. And there you'll see the first of all, the story that the two dynasties, the Yadu dynasty and the Kuru dynasty, the origin of the family where they were, you know, first started, you say, with the sons of Yayati. In the ninth canto, I won't tell the whole story, but some of you have read the ninth canto. You remember that King Yayati, he married Sharmishta and Devayani, and they had five children. And two of those children are especially noteworthy. One of them was Yadu, and another was Puru. So Yadu, now you may remember that King Yayati, he wanted youth. He wanted to give up his old age and become a young man again. So he asked his sons to trade with him, and they weren't willing to do it, including Yadu. But it said that Yadu had a good excuse because Krishna was going to appear in the future in his dynasty. So he didn't want to interrupt the time unfolding. But then Puru, he agreed to do it. And there's a noteworthy what Puru said, because Puru's father, Yayati, he was so happy that his son did this, and he was praising him. Oh, thank you very much. And Puru said, Uttamas chintitam kurya proktavari tu madhyama adamo shadaya kurya akarto charitam pitu. So this verse, he says, a son, which Prabhupada says, a son or a disciple should understand what the father wants and do it without being told. So I'm not first class, I'm second class. One who does it is basically second class. That's good, that's praiseworthy. One who does it after being told or asked, that's praiseworthy. One who does it, whatever the father or guru asks, but has no faith, that's third class. Adhama, that means low class. And akarto charitam pitu means one who doesn't do it is compared to the father's stool, of the spiritual master's stool. So this comes from Puru. He's the one who said this. And in the Puru line, so they had these two out of the five sons, these two had Yadu and Puru, who were born of Yayati. So from the Yadu line come the Yadu dynasty, those who are living in Mathura, especially Vasudev and so on. And by the way, Nanda Maharaj also comes in this dynasty. He's also a Yadu. Because Surasena, who was the son of, what was his name now? I forget his name. Anyway, his brother was Parjanya Maharaj. And their father, Devamita, was it? It was Devamita. Their father married a Vaishya girl and a Kshatriya girl. And Parjanya Maharaj was born of the Vaishya girl. So he considered himself to be a Vaishya, and he moved to Mahavan, Vrindavan. And that's where he set up his dynasty, you might say. So he's also in that Yadu line. Now on the other side, we have the Puru line is what descends down ultimately to the Kurus and the Pandavas. Now, King Yayati, just to get a sense of the length of time, it's something like 40 or 41 generations from the Pandavas tracing all the way back to King Yayati. And you can look on the chart. It's interesting to look at it because you see different things. Oh, you see different names and where they fall in and so on. So one thing is the different names that we hear about here. I'll pull this out because I don't remember exactly how it works. But basically, Yadu had four sons. And among some generations after Yadu, we have the Satputta. There's a king named Satputta. And this Satputta, he had six sons. And among those, three of them are especially famous. So here at Satputta, we always hear this. Krishna comes from the Satputta dynasty. Actually, what's interesting about these names are a lot of them are the same dynasty. They're just different persons within the line. So sometimes the person is said to be, you know, this dynasty or that dynasty, but it's actually all the same line. Just prominent people are mentioned. They're linked to them. So Satputta had six sons, and three of those three, one was Vrishni, which we hear the Vrishni, that we hear that a lot. And even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is referred to as Varshneya in the first chapter of the Vrishni dynasty. The Andaka dynasty, Andaka, so his dynasty also comes. And Mahabhoja, so Kunti Bhoja. So Kamsa is in this Mahabhoja dynasty and Devaki. So tracing back to Satputta, that means that Kamsa's side and also Krishna's side, they're both Satputtas. So we see how there's kind of a merging. If you go back far enough, you can trace it back. This, I didn't say how many it was. But also Kuru, I should mention something about Kuru, because of course the Pandavas and the Kurus, the Kauravas, they're in the Kuru dynasty. So this comes in the Puru line. It's about 15 generations. Kuru comes about 15 generations after Yayati, so basically 25 generations before the Kuru, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And something is, I was trying to find out, well, who is this Kuru? Why is he mentioned? Why is he so significant? So I found something in an old Back to Godhead article, actually written by Lokanath Swami on Kurukshetra. So he mentions this in his article. He says, the Mahabharata tells how King Puru, a prominent ancestor of the Pandavas, made the land, which is now Kurukshetra, a great center of spiritual culture. King Kuru went there on a golden chariot and used the chariot's gold to make a plow. He broke down the chariot and made a plow out of it. He then borrowed Shiva's bull and Yamaraja's buffalo and started plowing. So we can understand something of his stature. Lord Shiva kind of borrowed Nandi, I want to plow the field. And Yamaraja's buffalo, I didn't know Yamaraja had a buffalo. Apparently all these different personalities, they have different carriers. So apparently it's probably a water buffalo, I assume. I don't know, maybe it's a bison. Usually buffalo means water buffalo. So anyway, he had a buffalo and a bull, and he started plowing. When Indra arrived and asked Kuru, so Indra also comes down and talks to this earthly king. When Indra arrived and asked Kuru what he was doing, Kuru replied that he was preparing the land for growing the eight religious virtues: truth, yoga, kindness, purity, charity, forgiveness, austerity, and celibacy. So if you look at this list, basically you get the four that we think about, the four religious principles that are included here, and we have four others. Indra asked the king to request a boon. Kuru asked that the land ever remain a holy place named after himself, and that anyone dying there go to heaven regardless of his sins or virtues. Indra laughed at the requests. Undaunted, Kuru performed great penance and continued to plow. Gradually, Indra was won over, but other demigods expressed doubts. They said that death without sacrifice did not merit a place in heaven. In other words, they didn't like the idea that someone just dies there and they go to heaven. We worked so hard to get here. Well, we don't like this idea. Kuru and Indra arrived at a compromise. Indra would admit into heaven anyone who died there while fighting or performing penance. So Kurukshetra became both a battlefield and a land of piety. That's the origin. That's the statue of Kuru and the Kuru dynasty. So from a more philosophical point of view, in this verse we have this phrase, Kala Gatya Duratyaya. Here it's the insurmountable movement of time. Duratyaya. Everyone knows a verse where that appears? Daivihyesha gunamayi ma duratyaya. What's the last word? Mama maya duratyaya. So difficult to overcome. So here, kala gatya duratyaya. Kala is insurmountable. This comes up often in the Bhagavatam. Actually, time has a lot of roles in the Bhagavatam. Comes up often. We hear about it, of course, in the creation. Nothing happens without time. Time is a representative of Krishna. But we also hear it when things take place. For example, the demigods and the devas and the asuras are always fighting with each other. So when this happens, when one side is losing, they often say, well, it's not our time. The time is not right. In fact, I forget which pastime, but Brihaspati comes and tells the demigods, yeah, you're losing big time here, so it's not your time. Just leave, go hide out, and we'll come back later when the time is better. So time is very important. Sometimes it's used synonymously with daiva, which is often translated as destiny. So destiny unfolds in time. Time is the agent. And it's insurmountable, as is described here. There's a nice verse that I always think of it. This is just before when Vidura, I think it's a chapter called Dhritarashtra Quits Home. So Dhritarashtra's there. He's always advising his brother. Vidura's always advising his brother Dhritarashtra. So just before Vidura starts speaking, telling Dhritarashtra he's just an old hanging around the house like an old dog and he should leave, give up. So before that, there's this verse. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and always engrossed in their thought. One of the time is described as having different qualities, and one of those is that it's invisible. It's especially said to be invisible when it ravages our material body. We don't see it happening. Now, what is that phrase? Oh, it says it describes that Krishna sucked out the life of Putana just as the force of time sucks youth from a body. So Krishna, he sucked out Putana's life. So we don't see it happening, but our youth is being sucked away by the force of time, day by day. Now, other examples are given. Time is being imperceptible. It's like, and we don't see it happening. We don't notice that it's happening to us. It's like the clouds being carried by the wind. The clouds aren't conscious what's moving us around here, blowing us around in the sky. In the same way that persons, human beings, don't understand that time is moving them around, moving them forward. Time is described to be one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's weapons. I read this, I think it was in the description of the universal form. But we hear that the chakra is sometimes compared to time. So that weapon in particular, because it destroys, and like fire burns everything up, just as fire destroys, the chakra is sometimes compared to fire, unbearable heat as it turns. Like sometimes if you're using like a saw, an electric saw, sometimes the wood starts smoking because of the friction. So the chakra burns as a time factor is burning and destroying everything. Another quality of time is that it's unsleeping. We may go to sleep and we don't realize time passes. I don't notice this so much when as I've gotten older, but I remember as a child sometimes putting my head on the pillow and then opening my eyes and it was morning. And I just said, what happened? I just lay down and all of a sudden it's morning already. So time is passing imperceptibly, and we may sleep and time flies and we don't, but time never sleeps. He's never asleep at the job. It's also described that, what is this? Even Yamaraj. Oh, I know what it is. Yamaraj is speaking to his messengers. You know, the messengers, when they had this debate with the Vishnu Dutas, the Yamadutas debated the Vishnu Dutas, and they were bewildered. How is it we got stopped in our duty? And they went back to Yamaraj. We thought you were the supreme. So how is it that it seems like maybe you're not? So when Yamaraj was instructing the Yamadutas, of course, one of the things he said, the most important thing he said was, keep your hands off the devotees. Jivana Bhakti Bhagavad Guna Namadheyam. He characterized those who aren't devotees as those who never once bow down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never chant his name even once, never perform the duties of human beings. So he said, those are the people that you go after, not the devotees. He says the devotees are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, even Brahma, I, and the time factor are incompetent to chastise them. So in other words, Yamaraj is saying, the devotees are safe from the time factor. Of course, we have the verse that with every rising and setting of the sun, our lives are being destroyed. We're subservient to time. But it says the devotees are not, because they're engaged in Krishna Katha, then they don't have to worry about time. One place it said that you don't have to fear, or those who recognize that time is the Supreme Personality of Godhead don't fear time, because they see it as Krishna. When death comes, they also think, well, this is Krishna coming for me. So they don't fear time. But Gajendra, in one of his prayers, he talks about fearing time. I think probably makes a point in a purport. That if you fear time, if you're not on the level not to fear time, then you can take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you will be protected by his club. So sometimes this question arises, should we be afraid or not afraid? There comes a stage when we're not afraid, like Prahlad Maharaj wasn't afraid of anything. But in just like Gajendra, he's considered to be a kind of a lower stage. And he was afraid. But in his fear, he called out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because a devotee has no other shelter, what can they do? They have to call out to Krishna. But then they can be assured that Krishna, time arriving in whatever form, is subordinate to Krishna. So there's nothing to worry about. Another phrase that's used is Kala Shruta. We have Kala Sarpa, the snake of time. So of course that tends to be fearful. Metaphor, the snake of time comes to swallow us. In fact, when Vidura asks Uddhava about the welfare of the Yadus, then Uddhava gave that wonderful answer. He said, our house has been swallowed by the great snake of time. Krishna has left us, and the house of Yadu, has been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? So this snake of time, Kalasarpa, that's one image that we have, time as a snake. Also, Kala is called Kalashrota, which means the waves of time. So we think of waves as always coming. They don't stop on the ocean, they just come. And I was thinking also of a tsunami wave. I don't know how fast they go, but like really fast, these huge tsunami waves, and powerful. Nothing is going to stop them. So that's time. Nothing can stop it. And time is also one of the primary constituents of material nature, the material world. When Lord Brahma saw, when Krishna revealed all the Vishnu forms, how he showed that the cowherd boys were actually him, and he also showed the four-handed Vishnu forms. So Brahma also saw different constituents of the material world. And included in that was Kala. Kala, Swabhava, Samsara, Kama, Karma, and Guna, the Gunas. So all of these characteristics of the Mahatattva, you can say, or the Pradhan, the material energy. Actually, Kala comes after Pradhan. Kala is the glance of Krishna to bring Pradhan into action. So Brahma saw Kala, the form of Kala as expanding from Krishna. So Kala unfolds everything. And that's what the Pandavas or the Kurus are referring to here. They're saying time, just as the seasons change, they're seeing that by the insurmountable force of time, Kali Yuga is coming. Tatashchanudidam dharma satyam socham kshamadhaya kalina balina rajan nangshityayur balam smriti. So this verse, this is the first verse of the 12th canto, first chapter, I think, where it's described all the bad things in Kali Yuga are listed. So in the beginning, there's sort of a summary, this verse. Tatashchanudidam. Anudinam means day after day as Kali Yuga progresses. Day after day, things will get worse. And these things will diminish. Tatashchanudinam dharma satyam socham kshama dhaya. So truth, cleanliness, kshama, tolerance, and dhaya, mercy. Kalena balina rajan. O king, this is just like this phrase here. Kala gatya duratyaya. So kalena balina, by the power of time. Nangshatyaya, they diminish, these things diminish. Then the last two are balam and smriti. Strength and smriti, memory, which we can all relate to. Of course, Kali Yuga takes away our memory, and of course, old age does it at any time, takes away our ability to remember. So all of these, and you can't fight it, just as we can't fight it, old age coming on, there's nothing we can do about it. So the unfolding of the age is also, there's nothing you can do about it. Of course, we can somewhat rise above it by taking part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, becoming pure Vaishnavas. We're protected, but the age will come. And the Kurus are seeing a hint of it. Now, this is actually some time before it actually starts. In the Bhagavatam, I think it says that the day that Krishna left this world, then Kali came on with strength. Somewhere I read that the actual, astrologically, Kali Yuga begins sometime during the Battle of Kurukshetra. At least this is what I read somewhere. I don't know if it's in our book somewhere. So anyway, around that time, Kali Yuga actually comes on, but this is some time before, but they're actually starting to see already some of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, at least according to them, of course, as they're misreading the situation here. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Jatari Prabhu? Here, Jatari. Oh, we have a runner today.
I was thinking about that pastime, is it Prabhas, where they fought with the Kusha grass or mm-hmm. the canes. So that was all the men. What happened to the ladies of the Yadu dynasty? That
well, Arjuna was supposed to carry them back to Mathura, and then they got kidnapped uh-huh. at pastime. Arjuna's lamenting that when Krishna's passing. I was defeated by a group of infidel cowherd men, he says. Of course, this is all described in other literature, how this is all part of Krishna's pastimes. And just like in here, it was mentioned, well, what I read here about by Uddhava, says those who were demigods who had descended, they were the ones who were killed at Prabhas. And those who were part of Krishna's eternal entourage, because there were a lot of people in Dwarka, millions of people. So they weren't all apparently eternal associates of Dwarka in the spiritual world. They came for Krishna's pastimes, and when Krishna wrapped up his pastimes, he made this arrangement. So the others, they disappeared in some other way. I don't know exactly how it unfolds. It's described in other places. Actually, I think the gopis were, I forget who they were, but they somehow, I think that's described in Lalita Madhava maybe, what happened to them. They were taken safely.
When Yadu refused to give his youth to Yati, his father Yuyati, then Yati cursed him that any of his descendants couldn't rule. They couldn't ascend the throne. So my question is, here's King Ugrasena, and then actually after Krishna killed Kamsa, then you know, he said, Krishna and Balaram, we can't be kings here because we're Yadavas.
Right.
And so you'll be king, but then he's also a Yadava. So you got any
I don't know.
Answer in
there's
that
probably one. Some loopholes in the curse or something, you know, these things.
Well, you know, Krishna is saying, but you can be the king because, you know, everyone will respect you because I'm part of your entourage. You know, even the demigods will be behind you on this, you know, because Ugrasena was, he was a little hesitant to take it
on. I think Ugrasena said, Krishna, you can do it because no one's going to argue about that, curse or no curse. Yeah. People know who you are, Supreme Lord. At least some people know.
Then one other question. Is there some kind of a thread of continuity? Like, for instance, this disagreement, this conflict between the Kurus and the Yadavas, it's kind of a first, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it kind of set the stage for, when the devotee was telling me, it kind of sets the stage for the Battle of Kurukshetra and then also the final, you know, the Prabhas pastime. Samba's involved with it, but this discord between the Kurus and the Yadavas. Now, of course, you know, the Pandavas, because of the marital relationship, they kind of line up with the Yadavas, and that kind of
because Kunti and Vasudeva are brother and sister.
Right, right. So. You see this thread? I mean,
well, I'm thinking now actually at Kurukshetra, the Yadus and Kurus were both there, and there was this great, you know, they came together, there was all this embracing, and everything seemed really good at that time. When they came, not the war Kurukshetra, but the solar eclipse Kurukshetra, that Yajna, when they met during that time, then they were, all, it was just all friendly. So I don't know if there was some.
That was after the marriage of Samba.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yep, may have, I forget exactly the timeline is. It was around that time, I think. I think I checked it out, and it's like I think Krishna was in his 50s or something like that when that took place.
Yeah, you sent me a chronology one. You sent me this chronology one.
Yeah. I kind of got pieces of the chronology here and there, and I haven't really worked to make it all easy to look at and comprehensible, but it's interesting to see actually how these things unfold over Krishna's. Now, one thing in the Bhagavatam, we hear about Krishna being 125. There's actually a verse in the Bhagavatam that states this. It's in the 12th canto that Krishna stayed on this planet for 125 years. So that's how old he was when he passed away. So that means at Kurukshetra he was younger. That was 36 years before. Krishna was during the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Krishna's army was on the side of Duryodhana, if you remember, and Krishna was on the side of Arjuna. That's the whole Yadus there. And well, earlier we were talking about the time. You have Kala Chakra, the wheel of time. And in the one of the Purana, it says, as the wheel of time turns, so mortal revolves. Sometimes in heaven, sometimes on earth, and sometimes in hell. Held fast or held strongly by the noose of karma.
Yeah, so if you're on a wheel, then sometimes you're at the top, sometimes you're at the bottom. Actually, another thing about the wheel is there's an extended metaphor about 360 spokes and so on. There's a couple of places where this comes up. There's 360 days in a year, and 100 of this, I think, because of the 100 years of one's life and so on. This extended metaphor like that. Madam Ati?
Sometimes we hear the relationship of time with the modes of material nature. Can you say something about
that? Yeah, well, that's in the creation. When you have the pradhan and the mahatattva, the modes of material nature, they work together. As far as I understand, the modes of material nature are incited to act by time, kala, because otherwise they're dormant. So the modes of material nature, they're a part of making everything happen, especially the mode of passion, actually, because passion is the beginning of things. Brahma creates That requires passion. Then goodness is maintenance, and then destruction is dissolution. So especially to incite passion in the Mahatattva, then the glance of time agitates the modes, the three modes of material nature, which really, then things really start going on, unfolding.
So my further question is about time. It seems like it doesn't have any rhyme or reason to do something. Like, I forget what pastime it describes, maybe in the ninth canto or something, but the question is raised about the modes of material nature, how is sometimes goodness, you know, passion and ignorance, and the answer is replied, time. So, who is time? I mean, I guess Krishna is in charge of time, but because of time...
It seems like a blind force, is that, that's kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, everything works. It seems like time is like all-encompassing, so everyone works within that. Now, we know how, and we can just see it ourselves. We can look at time. So in one sense, it's neutral. I like that example Prabhupada gives in one place. He says, I don't think it applies, I don't know if it's used in this context, but the idea is there. He says that the sun is not responsible for the death of the bee that goes into the lotus flower. When the lotus flower closes at night and the bee dies inside. Because that's what happened. The sun sets. So the sun, you can say, is a representative of time. So time moves, and that bee has gone inside the flower. It closes up and it suffocates in there, apparently, or some bug does that. So you can't blame time because time or the sun is just doing what it does. It's just moving on. But we know, of course, that karma unfolds in time. That in fact, when I did this, I mentioned this list that Lord Brahma saw when Krishna revealed his Vishnu forms, and Kala, Karma, Swabhava was one of those. Now, Swabhava is our nature that we acquired, almost like our personality or what, you know, our, who we are in this life, in this material life, and all the karma that's going to unfold in this lifetime. That's our Swabhava. So that's also considered to be an entity. That's also, you might say, side by side with time, but it unfolds in time. All these things, we have all these things that are going to come out in this lifetime, and time is unfolding them. So in that sense, you can say it's kind of an impersonal force that allows things to unfold as they're... Now, we know there are different personalities to control how it's unfolded. Big question I always have is that, I've come across this recently several times, that we have karma going back infinite lifetimes, basically. So we have so much karma. We have infinite lifetimes to unfold our karma, waiting for us. So who decides what we get in this lifetime? I can't understand how that works exactly. Which part of the... Someone gave the analogy, it's like reaching into a bucket full, a barrel full of mustard seeds and just pulling out a handful, and that's what you get in this life. I don't know where that comes from exactly, but I'm confused. But the basic idea is that it unfolds by the force of time, plays out.
Just another thought that add into the mix here, that in the spiritual world it says time is conspicuous by its absence. Mm-hmm. And we're, by performing devotional service, we're running out of time, and we're almost out of time. So maybe...
You can look up a book of quotes and you can find lots of things about time.
So how does it seemed like everything that we're talking about, the destiny and karma, and that's all relationship to the body, but the spiritual and the rasa situation, the time acts differently, isn't it? There's a different aspect to it.
Yeah, well, time in the spiritual world is inconceivable, so obviously it's not working the same way. Sita Deeprabhu, let's give him his time.
Yeah, I was once just listening to a lecture in Tokyo, I think it's early 74, and Papa just started talking about time in the spiritual world. And I was trying to find it so I can get it correct, but I couldn't, because it's a, you know, anyway. But he was saying, you know, in conditional life, there's past, present, and future. There's plan making. In the spiritual world, that's absent. Everything is now, like present, now, fresh. you'd have to hear him say it, but he had a way of saying it that's really struck it, you know. It's just everybody's in a moment, so they say.
Jamashmiko? Yeah, that's why one reason you might say there's no anxiety in the spiritual world, because you're not worried about what's going to happen next. You're so absorbed in what's happening right now, you're not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mundane psychologists say that as you age, time goes quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Perception changes. Have you ever seen any Shastric references?
A Shastric reference today?
Like that?
No, I can't think of anything like that. Who, someone else had their... Oh, Madame Mohan Prabhu?
These... the Brahma Bhuta stage is different because you're not hankering and you're not lamenting. And then there's that verse 4:30:20 that is ever fresh, the Brahma Bhuta platform, because Krishna is generally the mind, the chariot of the mind, is always thinking of something it has to do, or the positive or negatives of this world, the duality. But once one's out of the duality, then it's the ever-fresh situation of that's explained in that verse there, the Brahma Bhuta stage. Krishna is interacting with the living entity at every moment because he's not forgetful anymore.
Yeah, so we absorb ourselves in Krishna's pastimes and we're free from that anxiety of passing of time, what's going to bring. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.